It sounds like it should be an intro for like a UFC fighter or a wrestler.
And now, entering the ring, Rex. I don't know why I thought of that Rex. Name.
But it's like W R E.
Rex, W, like he wrecks stuff.
W R E C K S.
Rex McCracken.
Rex McCracken.
Hey, y'all, how's it going?
What's up, everybody? Law and Disorder coming at you. Episode 105, right?
You are correct.
105. What's up?
We're here. We survived the holidays.
Yeah, we're like done with all that.
Yep.
Every kind of like thing that could happen is already done. We're cruising into September. What month are we in? January.
It's January.
Whatever.
2024.
We're cruising into 2024. You know, we're plowing through the month of January, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, so we're here. And before we get too far into it, let's thank the sponsors. Let's thank Young Ideas Dish for all of your Dish and Google product needs. And let's thank Wavespace Audio for all the music. Right?
Mm-hmm. They create our intro.
They create intros. They create our everything. This music right here.
Any sound effect, really.
Thanks, Wavespace. Mm-hmm. So we're here. We haven't done a news segment in a couple of weeks. We're going to do some Law and Disorderly news. I'm actually really excited.
I will say for our news in this episode, I'd say like half of it's news and then like the other half is like trends. But the trends have gotten so viral that they've been in the news. So I'm going to consider it all news.
Yeah, we'll just call it all news-ish.
Yes. So Law and Disorderly news is what we're talking about today. And the first thing we are going to talk about is something that has blown up not only on my For You page on TikTok, but I think everybody's, if you're on TikTok or any type of social media, Snapchat, whatever. But because we just had the holidays, a lot of people were out shopping, kids are out of school. A lot of people are very upset that whenever they go to a Sephora or an Ulta, which are makeup stores, they go in there and the store is overrun by 10-year-old little girls.
What?
Yes.
Children.
Children.
Do children make money to go to Sephora and or Ulta?
They do not. They do not. I'm not saying they don't have their own little lemonade stand, you know, side gig, whatever they got going on. But these are little bratty 10, 11, 12-year-old girls that are going into the Sephoras and the Ultas. Their parents take them and they just kind of let them do whatever. They're not monitoring them. The little girls are, you know, messing up all the samples in the store. Their favorite thing right now, for some reason, is a brand called Drunk Elephant. I don't know if you've ever heard of it. This is a real brand.
No. It sounds like a Chinese restaurant or something.
That would be a good name for a restaurant. But no, there's a brand of skincare called Drunk Elephant. I've never even purchased anything from them. I don't really know enough about them other than you can buy it at Sephora, you can buy it at Ulta, and it's a little expensive. So like, for example, if you bought like a moisturizer, mm-hmm. you're looking at $40 maybe.
What?
Mm-hmm.
And these little kids can afford that?
Well, their parents buy it for them.
My mom, if I was 10 years old and I told my mom I wanted $40 for some moisturizer, like, go get a job. Go mm-hmm. mow the yard. She'd say go mow 10 yards and then come back with your $40.
Because right now what's motivating these little girls, from what I've heard, is they see all these influencers on social media, mm-hmm. you know, promoting skincare. You got to protect your skin. So all these little girls want to do what the influencers are doing and get all this fancy skincare, even though they're 10 years old.
They don't need skincare.
They don't.
Being 10 is skincare.
Your skincare. Exactly. So like they're going in trying to get retinol. Do you know what retinol is?
No.
So retinol is like a vitamin A derivative. And what it does is it typically is used to help get rid of like fine lines and wrinkles and smooth the skin. But
you don't have wrinkles at 10 years old.
Exactly. But the influencers are using it, so they think they have to use it. But mind you, the influencers are, you know, upper 20s, 30s, maybe they're starting to get a fine line here or there. So they're starting to use retinol just to help, you know, keep that from getting worse. But they're older. These are older women. These are not, they're not following other 10-year-old little girls on social media using retinol.
But that's not really healthy for some of these influencers either, because some of these influencers are young, like teenage or early 20s, and they don't need it either. You know, you're getting something that you don't need.
And you have to keep in mind, too, that a lot of the bigger influencers that are more popular, they get sponsorships from companies. And the companies are like, hey, review our skincare products on your channel and we'll give you money. And so, yeah, they're using that retinol on their channel because they're getting paid for it.
Right.
And then all these little girls see it.
But here, so I'm not very familiar with Sephora, but I'm kind of familiar with Ulta. I've been in there enough times to buy like birthday presents and anniversary and stuff. So I know that at Ulta, you can go in there and they have a lot of samples and they don't really have a lot of people policing it. Like when I went in to buy perfume for Myrna, I don't know, Valentine's Day or something one year, they just have them all like put there and they got the little sample thing that you spray and then you spray it and then they have the little coffee where you can like
cleanse your palate.
Cleanse your palate and get something else. But like in the old days, if you would go to the fragrance counter at like Macy's or Dillard's or whatever, they had like a person. And you're not just going to go in there, especially a kid. You're not just going to go in there and just start spraying crap. Like, especially a kid. They'd be like, hold on, what are you doing here? Mm-hmm. But even now, adults really didn't do that. Like, they always had a dedicated person. But when you go to Ulta now, it's just there. So, like, there's not enough people there. There's not enough employees. There's only a handful. So that's what's going on, is these kids are just going through there and, like, spraying crap, and they're putting on different, like, moisturizers and all that stuff, just kind of wasting the samples.
Yeah, because there's also this other trend that they're doing with the samples. Have you ever heard of a smoothie?
Like the drink?
No. So what they do is they combine a bunch of different skincares together, like they mix them together and then use it, and it's called a smoothie. So they'll have like a moisturizer and they combine some retinol in there. Then they'll throw in some SPF and then they'll throw in some niacinamide. Then they'll throw in some vitamin C and they mix it all together like a smoothie and put it on their face at the store.
Are you supposed to do that?
No.
Aren't there certain things that you're not supposed to do that with? Like you're not supposed to stack them? Because one's designed to do one thing and one's designed to do something else?
It's not that you can't stack certain skincares. It's just that many is not needed for, I think, anybody. And there's like maybe certain times of the day you should use one. And so like, for example, SPF is something you want to use in the morning so that it's on your face all day. If you're someone who needs retinol and you use retinol, you want to put retinol on at night right before you go to sleep.
Okay.
Because if you wear retinol during the day and you go outside in the sun, it can cause you, your skin to burn. Mm-hmm.
So some of these people are just putting on crap at the wrong, like for the wrong time of day, and it could be detrimental.
These little girls are putting retinol on, you know, in the morning. They're also getting like chemical face peels that you can buy that you're supposed to use like once a week, once a month, depending on your skin. And these little girls are coming in complaining, trying to return it because they're using it every day.
And they don't realize, I mean, you have to read those things because they are chemicals. It's not like mama's like, you know, Olay lotion or anything like that. This is like, there's like actual chemicals in these things. And there's like a balancing act. Like there's, everything now is very like specific. But at the same time, a lot of things are not as regulated as they used to be. Because in the old days, you had people like what estheticians that could only administer certain things. And now there's certain things that you can buy over the counter that you used to not be able to. But if you're not using it correctly, it's no different than abusing like a OTC drug at the pharmacy, right? Like you can over abuse anything OTC over the counter.
But these little girls just want to do what the influencers are doing. So they're getting all this skincare. They're getting way too much. They destroy the store in the meantime. They're acting like little brats. I've seen some videos of like Ultas and Sephoras who have had to like get rid of all their samples, or they put everything, they've been putting everything behind like plastic locked closed cases.
Yeah, behind people, like people have to, like there's layers of security to get it now.
Mm-hmm. because these kids are ruining all the product. And so Sephora Corporate and Ulta Corporate are like, man, we're going to have to like lock up our inventory so it doesn't get destroyed and our store doesn't get destroyed.
Right, because you have to change policy because you don't want it to, you can't single out people. So it's better to just change the whole company policy and say, hey, we're going to do this for everybody, not just kids. Right? I mean, I guess that's what it comes down to.
Pretty much. But it just sucks because, like, I was just at a Sephora and an Ulta for the holidays buying presents. And, yeah, there were so many kids there. I was at an Ulta, and I didn't tell anyone this story, but I'll tell it now. I was at an Ulta buying some Christmas presents. And there were these, I can't call them little girls. They were short, like super, super short. But I think, I want to say they were actually teenagers. Because mm-hmm. like one of them was like carrying car keys and I could tell like they had their own money. So they were clearly teenagers. So they're maybe 15, 16, around that age. Mm-hmm. They were just very, very short. But I'm in there trying to shop and just browse, minding my own business, not causing a scene. And they're in here like running around the store, like chasing each other back and forth, like a 5-year-old.
Like they're in Walmart.
Yeah, and laughing and giggling really loud. And it was one thing, it was like if they did it once or twice, I wouldn't have thought anything of it. But they kept running, and then like they were running in between the aisles, like in circles, literally around me, as I'm like bending down trying to like,
oh my gosh,
look at the colors of the blush I was looking at or whatever. And there were more employees there. Because, you know, they probably have seasonal help at the stores during that time. And there was an employee there, like this lady. And she got her hands behind her back, just watching everybody, just walking around. I think her job was to make sure, like, nobody was, like, stealing anything. Mm-hmm. But I was looking at the kids, and I looked at her and made eye contact. And I looked at the kids, and I looked at her, like,
are you going to do your job?
And she just, like, turned the other way and walked away. I was like, I get it. She doesn't get paid enough to you know,
right,
step in. But I could not believe how these teenagers were acting.
Just in the like store. Little brats.
Yeah.
No respect.
So, yeah, that's kind of what's been happening with the kids nowadays. Now the kids, I think, are back in school finally.
Yeah.
From winter break. So maybe that's going to get a little better.
Hopefully.
But I don't want to, if I need something from Ulta, I'm just going to go buy it online.
Like you do like the curbside pickup?
Oh, I could do that. Yeah, I could pre-order it and just go pick it up.
Yeah, but it's not convenient to where you need, if you need to check something out, like if you need to see like, does this work for me?
Yeah, like if I need to check the color of like a foundation, is it my skin tone? That's only going to work if I'm buying something I know is I've used before and works.
Hmm. Thanks a lot, kids. Whatever they're, I don't even know what this generation's called, just kids.
I think they're Gen Alpha. They're like so there's millennials and Gen Z, and the one after them I think is Gen Alpha.
We're starting over.
So these are like the Gen Alpha kids.
Oh, okay. Well, that's Gen Alpha ruining Sephora's and Ulta's experience. Thanks, guys. Thanks for ruining one more thing for us. What else is going on in the news?
What is going on in the news? This other, this isn't technically a news article, but it's been trending so much that it's actually in the news, and that's why I wanted to bring it up, because I did see one news station cover it, is people's obsession at the moment with Stanley Cups.
I don't get it.
You know what a Stanley Cup is, though, right? Like, you understand, like, the brand, what it is.
Yeah, but it's like a Yeti, but it's...
It's a tumbler brand, essentially.
So, my wife was, I kind of asked her about the Stanley Cups. I'm like, I don't get it. And she goes, well, it's bigger. It holds more than a Yeti. I'm like, they make Yetis that size. Well, it's got a handle. I'm like, that's not convenient. She's telling me this. And I'm like, 10 years ago, people thought those were too bulky. And now they're cool. It looks like a big ass thermos to me. But like,
I mean, that's exactly what it is.
But I don't understand why that cup is so much better than a Yeti, than an Arctic, than a thermos, than everything else that's out there.
Like, so, in regards to comparing it to other brands, like you mentioned, like Yeti or Arctic, you should know that when Yeti came out, they were like the first ones to come out with the keep your drink cold, mm-hmm. keep your eyes sore. If you have a hot drink, keep your hot drink hot all day, right? So they sold their patent for their product. And when you do that, other companies or other people can buy your patent and make their own version
right.
of that product. So when Yeti sold their patent, hence Arctic.
Yeah, because it's basically a Yeti cup. Mm-hmm. It was cheaper, mm-hmm. I guess is what it was marketed at.
Yeah, and then I think Stanley was already around, but like they bought the patent and started coming out with those kinds of tumblers too. And that's why you see all these other random brands. I couldn't name them all. You can go to Walmart and see 20 different brands of a cup that can all stay cold for 12 hours or they can all stay hot for 12 hours.
What is the... I don't understand what the big thing is about the Stanley cup.
It is, again, I think all over social media. I think a lot of influencers are paid to use it. I couldn't tell you. First of all, I don't own a Stanley. I don't have one. I don't see the point in getting one when I already have half a dozen large tumblers.
Right.
I don't want to... I'd have to get rid of one before I considered buying a new one, right? So I think Stanley's for the big one. So I think it's like a 30 or a 32 ounce. Is like
something like 40 ounce, something like that.
It's the large one that, you know, everyone's going crazy over. Those range, I think, anywhere from like $35 to $40.
Okay. Which is pretty expensive for a cup.
Yeah.
Well, it's a cup.
I mean, it's a cup that I'm pretty sure is using the same patent that Yeti sold. So it works just as well as a Yeti, or Yeti works just as well as Stanley versus working just as well as an Arctic. So there's that. So you're not buying, you're not paying all that money because the cup works better, first of all. And then second of all, I don't understand. It doesn't do anything special. I guess the it kind of comes out in cool colors that you might not get through another brand.
Yeah, but they all have cool colors too.
I know right now the one that's like super, super popular is that I guess they did a collab at Target.
It's a red one.
Starbucks. And it's like a red one and a pink one.
Yeah.
And apparently, yeah, there was also a Starbucks version that Target released, I guess, earlier sometime this month. And people were lining up outside of Target at like 2-3 in the morning.
Yeah, I saw that.
To be the first one in the store to buy this cup. And I don't understand why, because one, it doesn't work any better. It's not any bigger. It's not like there's real gold or silver or something on it. It still leaks. The thing freaking leaks. You turn it over, it leaks. So I don't understand why it's so cool. And then what all these women do is they'll buy 4 or 6 of them, whatever their limit is, and then they just post them online to sell for $80.
Well, okay, so I have a Yeti. And I've had my Yeti since August. I got it at the Metallica concert in August. And it was like a limited edition color that only came out with this collab with Metallica. It's the only Yeti I have. And it sits at my desk. And I pour my water bottle in there. And I drink from it. And when I run out of water, I pour another thing in there. That's it. It doesn't go anywhere. I think I've taken it in the car like twice. And I'm like, it's too cumbersome. And it's not even the big one. It's the one that holds like a 20-ounce bottle of water. But to me, that's too cumbersome. And it's like, I can't put it anywhere. It's got to go in the pocket or in the back seat or something. It's just not like, it's not user-friendly. I can't discard of it to get rid of it altogether when I go somewhere. I got to put it somewhere because I got to get it later. So that's the little Yeti cup. My wife has a Stanley cup. And we were driving in her car the other day. And she had it in the cup holder. And then she had an extra bottle of water. And I'm like, Myrna, you're taking up all of my real estate with your stupid Stanley cup. It's so big. It's so big. It takes it like in the handle. And it's like, really all that fits in here is this big Stanley cup and a small bottle of water. And that's it. But you've eaten up both cup holders with these two items. But that Stanley cup is just like gargantuan. And she's like, well, you know, I might want water later. Or she's got it full of water. She's always drinking water because she's diabetic. But I'm just like, just get a smaller one. Pour that. Like, what stopped you before? Before, she just carried extra bottles of water. And when she ran out of water, she'd put it back in. But she's got this big monster 30-something ounce, 40-ounce thing, and it's like a carrying around an old-school thermos.
Mm-hmm.
It's enormous. It's not convenient at all. I don't understand.
As we're recording this, I'm looking at my tumbler in front of me. So I do have like a 32-ounce tumbler, but mine's not a Stanley. Mine's by a brand called Owala.
Yeah, but yours, okay. I mean, it's pretty...
It feels sturdy, doesn't it?
Yeah, it feels sturdy. It's pretty hefty.
Yeah, like it's hefty and it does exactly what a Stanley can do. It does, I will say the lid is different. It holds cold water. It holds hot liquids. What I like about this is that on a Stanley, the lid, like you have to turn it.
Mm-hmm.
So like you can use a straw or you can just drink straight from it, but you have to like turn the thing on the lid.
Okay.
To get it to the right straw hole or the drinking hole. This one just has one of those magnet lids that slides back and forth.
Oh, yeah.
But I can keep it on there and still put a straw through the top. So I don't have to remove the magnet part. It can just stay there.
I don't know. It's a cup. I don't get it. Some people are saying that it promotes you drinking more water. But it also promotes you drinking more coffee, more soda, more whatever else you put in there. And most people that drink out of that thing do not have water in it. They've got stuff that's probably unhealthy for them. So you get 40 ounces of vodka soda or 40 ounces of Dr. Pepper, you know, or coffee or something that's not water. So I don't want to hear that, oh, it's going to help you drink more water. No, it's going to help you drink more vodka.
There's a study out there. I can't find the link to it, but I remember reading it where if you want to drink more water, all you have to do is put it in any kind of cup or glass or mug that's like appealing to you.
Yeah.
So they did a study and there was like an elderly woman that they studied. And in order to get her to drink more water, she would pour her water in like a champagne flute and drink water out of that because it made her feel fancy and special. Or like she'd put sparkling water in it too.
I like her.
And that's how she got more water in. So like... I do like mine personally because it does help me drink more water and I'm able to track my water better. So if I drink three of these in a day, I think if I drink three of these, it's like maybe a full gallon, three or four. Mm-hmm. I try to drink three of these a day and it's easier for me to keep track of. But I will say I only use this at home. Like I don't take this out with me. I'm not carrying this around with me.
That's fine with the Yeti.
If I need water with wherever I'm going, I pack a smaller water bottle with like a screw lid so it can't leak.
Yeah, like, but that's fine with the Yeti. Mm-hmm. The Yeti gets used at work. It doesn't go, it rarely goes anywhere. It stays at work. And that's my work drink cup.
Because this is a lot to carry around wherever you go. Like I think that's what these girls are doing. Like, they take this to school. And I know the little girls do. They take this to school and they just carry this around at school all day.
It's like carrying around an infant.
Because mine right now, currently as we're recording, only has water in it, like no ice. And I want to say it's maybe half full and it's already like kind of hefty. Like, yeah, this is not light.
It probably weighs, let me see.
That probably is halfway full.
That thing probably weighs 2 pounds, maybe a pound and a half. So full, that thing weighs like 3-4 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
And you're just carrying
it. Or if I had ice. Well, I guess ice wouldn't really make it matter, but.
It's like
yeah, you're just carrying this around everywhere.
I mean, the glass itself or the cup itself probably weighs like half a pound. Just the cup by itself. It's pretty massive.
I mean, there are ways to hydrate. It doesn't matter how. The water is going to taste the same no matter what. Put it in a cup and drink it.
Yeah.
If I will say, if I did ever want like a fancy tumbler or one that was in a cool color, I would just go to Etsy and get someone to like custom make me something. That was cool.
Like I said, I got that one because it was like a custom yellow color on a collaboration, and I'm a Metallica fan. It's like, cool. I get my cup and I get to show it off. But I show it off at my desk. I'm not like walking around the streets with this cup in my hand because it's not convenient. What do I do with it?
It's your emotional support water bottle.
But you know what I'm saying? Like, what do I do with it?
It's your accessory.
I got to carry a backpack just to put it up. You got to carry a backpack for that dang Stanley cup.
Oh, I probably wouldn't put it in a backpack because I think it would fall out.
Is it too heavy?
Or it would leak? Like the little mesh, like the mesh.
Oh,
holder.
No, and I'm talking about like sticking it in an actual like compartment in the backpack. Or
oh, no, this
the
would this would leak if it fell over.
No, no, you can't leak. You can't lay it down. You have to empty it. You have to empty the contents.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or you got to carry a big tote bag. Like an overnight bag.
Ugh. See, they make us carry these big water bottles so that we have to buy a big purse that we can fill with more of their stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's all a marketing game.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So,
moving, I'm off that tangent.
Moving along with news.
Yes, this is actual news.
This, I mean, I think this is news too, but what's actual news?
There is a woman currently in Florida who is selling her house. She put her house up for sale. She had been making repairs to it, and some contractors came to her house, and she didn't know who they were, but they were at her house, and they were, like, measuring out her driveway. Like, they had tape measures out there, and she didn't really know who they were, but apparently, this contractor thought that he could just have whatever, or do whatever he wanted to do to this house. So one day when this woman went to work, the contractor hired somebody to go to this woman's house and tear up her driveway with like a little bulldozer.
Like to just clean it up?
To in a case where it was going to be redone.
Oh,
so,
okay.
So this third party comes and tears up her driveway. So they literally break up all the concrete and remove the concrete. And this isn't a short little driveway that fits like one or two cars. She had a very long driveway that led from like the street to her garage.
Oh.
Yeah.
Long driveway.
Mm-hmm. Probably at least, I don't know, 10 yards or so. Like pretty far.
But they just carved it up like.
They took out all the concrete. They broke it all up and took all the concrete away. And when she comes home, she has a dirt driveway.
Oh, they stole it.
Yeah, they stole it.
So they stole her driveway.
Yeah, so this woman, I think she's the first person ever to have her driveway stolen. And that's literally what the news articles will say when you Google it. Literally stolen.
Like they unauthorized and took it.
Mm-hmm. And so she went to the police. And I saw that the police went to the contractor and was like, hey, what's going on? He's like, oh, I'm sorry. I had my addresses mixed up. I thought your address was the address of a house I was supposed to, like, redo the driveway. My bad.
Where's your driveway at?
In the dump. At the dump. Like, it's gone.
Oh, so he didn't, like, steal it to, like, resell it.
No, no, no.
He just had his houses mixed up.
That's what he's saying. And they have the text messages to, like, prove that. But he's like, yeah, it was just a mistake. Sorry about you. So this woman, this poor woman, has no driveway. She's trying to sell her house, which this is going to bring the value of her house down, which really sucks because she only has 2 weeks to sell her house because she needs to place a bid on the next house she's trying to buy.
Oh,
and
no.
If she doesn't bid it in the next 2 weeks, she'll lose out on it.
Do you know how expensive a driveway is?
Her quote, she got it quoted. It was going to be 10 grand.
That actually seems pretty cheap.
Yeah, but she had just, like, fixed her roof and was all these other necessary
renovations.
No, but
I'm just saying, I thought it was going to be higher than that.
10 grand, which she does not have.
Or you can take the 10 grand hit and sell the house for 10 grand less without the driveway, potentially.
Yeah, but maybe she won't have enough for the bid she's supposed to place on the next house. And that's kind of where the article that I read ends.
I mean, I guess you could sue the guy, right?
Yeah, but then, you know, is the money you're going to get if you win the lawsuit going to cover all the court fees and lawyer fees and all that?
Yeah. That's weird. It happened in Florida, right?
Mm-hmm. Only in Florida.
God, it is only in Florida.
She went to work and came home and her driveway was gone.
Like everything.
That. Imagine like you come home and you're trying to pull into your driveway to finally relax after a long, hard day of work and it's dirt.
I mean, and you got to take up the concrete and the rebar and everything. It's just gone.
Mm-hmm.
It's literally just the carved out piece of land.
And I'm surprised they did it all in a day, too. They got it all done in like an 8-hour day while she was gone.
That's a pretty good contractor. I mean, for efficiency, I guess.
Yeah, that was... I don't know what's going to happen to her. I mean, I'm praying for her that she's able to get her new house, but dang.
That sucks.
Yeah, I count my blessings right now. Grateful for what I have.
You got a driveway.
No bad juju. I have a driveway. I have a garage. I have a sidewalk. Ugh. Yeah, that was a very, very crazy story to read about.
That's pretty funny. Only in Florida, though.
Only in Florida. The next thing we're going to talk about is also very, very big news. And I heard about this happening. I didn't freak out because I was kind of happy it happened. But big college football news.
Big college football news. Some of the biggest.
Alabama Crimson Tide football coach Nick Saban has retired.
Yes.
He gone.
He retired. And granted, he had 6 years left on his contract of a $90 million contract.
That's what you said. He was contracted through to like 2030?
Yeah, till 2030. And it was like an 8-year, $90 million contract, something like that. That's how much he didn't like his job anymore. He's like, I'm just going to retire. Just going to leave. I'll leave the money on the table. Screw the money. Because that was even the joke when he signed the contract a few years ago. They're like, are you still going to be around then? Like, meaning like, you're still going to be alive. Because he retired at 72. He still had 6 years left on it. He was scheduled to work until 78, which is a lot for anybody.
But he's 72?
Yeah, he looks pretty good, huh?
I would have guessed he was like 62.
No, he looks good. Yeah,
No, that's great.
I'm fairly confident. Let me look it up, but I'm pretty sure he's 72. Now I gotta look it up.
But see, I am not an Alabama fan, so, you know, this, I could not care less. I mean, good for him. I mean, I'm sure he's tired at 72. He's made his millions upon millions of dollars. Go enjoy your life, man.
His birthday is Halloween of 1951.
Oh, so yeah, he is.
Yeah, I'm looking at a picture of him now. I'm like, wow, he looks pretty good.
He makes enough money to look good.
Yeah, he should. Yeah, if you make that much money, you should look good. So in the college football realm, it's a big thing because Alabama is like, they've been one of the biggest, most dominant schools in football for the last 15, 20-ish years, you know? So it's one of those things where they've been in the top 5, top 10 for a long time. So these kinds of openings don't happen every day, especially in college football. These coaches stay, you know, 5, 10, 15 years. He was there like 18 or something, a long time. So it's a big thing because it's like... This is like the dream opening, especially if you're a coach at one of the big schools that's doing really well. Like if you're at a top school like Oregon or Texas or even Michigan, you're like, yeah, but this is Alabama. This is a step higher than where I'm at now. So I'm sure that there's like athletic directors out there and boosters and all that that are like, is our coach going to leave? Like the one job that we never thought would open up unless the guy died is now open. Are all these people, because I'm sure that there's people out there that are working at these jobs, at these top programs, that are like, no, I'm happy. I'd never leave Texas. I'd never leave Florida, wherever, Ohio State. I'd never leave here unless Alabama opens up. It's always just kind of like a little tail end to the conversation. And like, hey, Alabama opened up. Well, you know, it's like, That one in a million shot just opened up. And they're not going to hire just some dude. They're not going to hire just some second tier guy. You can't come from that kind of, you know, dominance all these years to just say, we're just going to hire some dude. I don't think.
Man, if I was a school in the SEC right now, I would be so scared that my coach was about to leave.
And that's what they're saying. Some of the bigger names are like Steve Sarkisian from Texas. Mm-hmm. He worked as an assistant in Alabama. And they're like, is he? I mean, yeah, he's brought Texas back to a top 4 or 5 team. But would he be like, well, you know, that's great in all Texas, but this is a little bit more like, maybe there's more resources. Maybe there's not. But you know what I'm saying? Like, who's to say? Like I said, Oregon's another thing that they're kicking around, that Oregon coach. Auburn. The guy in Georgia, like,
see, I cannot relate to these people because I will never make that kind of money in my life or see that much money in my life. But to the people who say, oh, I'm going to stay at my current role because I love my school, whatever the school is, you know, pride at my school. If Alabama came to you and said, we want you to be our new head coach, we will buy you out of your contract and raise your salary by over like $10 million. Yeah, do you think that school loyalty is going to matter then?
No.
These coaches have to think about themselves, and they're going to go for the money and the notoriety at Alabama.
And that's the thing, too, is that a lot of these top coaches, they have buyouts. There is it's a stupid buyout. It's like, hey, it's going to cost $20 million or $10 million to get you out of your contract. And that's why they make it such a high number, to try to deter people. But then also it's like, well, we're going to get compensated really well. But it's always like, nobody's going to take that. Nobody's going to really give us that money. And then Alabama's like, here's $20 million. We want your guy. Here's $15 million. We don't care. You know?
Now, granted, to anyone who takes a job, is there like a lot of pressure on you?
Oh, yeah.
To keep that, you know, that school and that team where it's at and, you know, win more championships and stay in the top 3-5 for the next 15, 20 years? Absolutely.
I believe for his career, not just at Alabama, but for his career, I think he's only had one or two losing seasons as a coach. And at Alabama, I don't think he ever had a losing season. I mean, he was always like a 1-2 loss guy, you know, very rarely was it anything else. I mean, he was in a top 4 team this year. He was in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. And they lost in overtime to the champions, to Michigan. So it's not like they were falling off. It's not like they've been sucking wind for the last 3 or 4 years. He was right there. And he's just like, ah, I'm done. I've done all I can do. I've got 6-7 national championships.
Well, not only that, you were talking to me earlier about another reason he could have left is that it's not necessarily so much about the love of the sport and the school and the team anymore, but players can now monetize themselves. Mm-hmm. So it's almost like trying to run a business. And he said it's harder to coach nowadays. Can you talk a little bit about that?
So a couple of years ago, the NCAA opened up the rules to where kids can get they can make money off of their name and likeness. So like, this person can now make money because they are this person. Like, I can make money off of I can promote myself. You know, the local Chevy dealership can use my name and likeness, and they can pay me for it. The local Arby's can pay me for it. I can do regional commercials. I can do advertising that couldn't be done before. Now you can actually make money. You're probably not making millions of dollars, but you're making 10, 20, 100 grand, which college kids could never make money. So now it's like, it's almost like a stepping stone before you go to the NFL. So yeah, they're saying like these kids can, like they can go to another school that they think is going to give them more money or more better advertising. And then they also have what's called the transfer portal, where these kids can leave a college program and say, well, you know, I'm not happy with my role here. I'm going to join the portal and I can transfer out to another school. So you could play at Alabama for 2 years, not get any playing time and say, well, I'm not really happy with my role. I'm going to go in the portal and, oh, hey, USC wants to pick me up and they want to make me a starter. Immediately, I'm a starter. Like, that's the agreement I've made with them. And they can say, hey, we can help you get advertising. You know, you can push towards that. So it's just more of a business. So then it turns into the fact that you have to coach these kids, but you don't know if you're going to keep them. You don't know if you're actually going to retain them through the next season. And you almost have to sell yourself. It's like a sales job now. You're coaching and you're having to sell these kids why they should stay. But then you're also having to sell these high school kids why you should come here. And they've always had to do that. They've always had to recruit and sell the kids to come here. But in the old days, it was just like, he's going to come to Alabama and he's going to stay here. If he gets hurt or he gets cut or something, that's different. He can go somewhere else. But now the kid can say, I don't want to be here. I want to go here now. So now it becomes like, I had to sell this kid to come here from, instead of going to Texas 2 years ago. And now 2 years later, I got to sell him again to stay here. So it's like, now you're a salesperson. Now you're a pitch man. So I guess some of it's not, you don't have the love for it the same way because it feels more like a business. And he coached in the NFL for 2 years. And he didn't do very well in the NFL. He was like an average coach. And he came back in college and he flourished at Alabama. But the NFL is different. It is a business. It is designed as a business. You know what you're getting into. So it's almost like college football has turned into that. And that's not what it was designed to do. You know, it was supposed to be a higher level of like high school. but they were still amateur athletes. Now it's like you're dealing with like professional light, you know?
Pre-professional.
Yeah, like pre-professional. So now it's like, well, it's not as fun. And some coaches never go play, they never coach in the pros because they enjoy dealing with kids.
Students.
Like they like molding these minds and these athletes, and maybe they don't do anything. Because some of these kids, most kids don't go to the professional level. For a lot of kids, you're going to go to college and you're going to play sports. If you're an athlete and you're going to get a college education out of it. And that's pretty much all you get out of it. Make some memories, maybe win a championship, whatever. But that's it. You're not going to go any further than that. What, the one percenters or half percenters are the ones that go to the professional level. But now it's like, it's kind of like the influencers. Like everybody wants to be somebody. Even if the law of statistics says you shouldn't be. They're trying to like maneuver manipulate the system or manipulate the rules. The narrative. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't blame the kids necessarily. I mean, if I am able to transfer schools, get a better position, and know that I can get advertising marketing done for my likeness so I could make money to pay off my said school.
Yeah.
No, granted, no. They might be on scholarships because they're playing football anyway, but heck yeah.
I mean, I don't blame the kids.
Yeah.
But it's just one of those things where it's kind of unfortunate, and you get to see like in real time how things have changed. Like you can see how a coach that 10 years ago, 5 years ago, he didn't have some of the problems that he's having now with the way of the business of college football, you know? So it's kind of interesting to see that. And I mean, really, he's just like, I'm too old for this crap. Like, I don't want to deal with the change with all the,
yeah, no, at least he's honest and says he doesn't want to deal with the change, because honestly, in my opinion, you make enough money to where I expect you to deal with that. Like maybe a younger coach, like if they bring in someone who's a little bit younger, but gets paid millions upon millions of dollars, you're getting paid to act like it's a business.
But it kind of changes your job. Like it changes. It's almost like it's phased out that era of employee. And now we're completely revamping your job. So it's kind of sad because you're probably going to see more and more like established coaches that are finally going to be like, yeah, I don't want to do this anymore. I made my money. Some college coaches would coach for 10, 20, 30 years. I think Joe Paterno in Penn State coached for like 40 years or something at the same college. Bobby Bowden in Florida State, he coached for 20, 30 years. You know, 20 years, 30 years was the norm for a long time. Like they'd find a school, they were good at it, and they would just keep them there. It's like, hey, we got consistency for the next 20 years, 30 years.
And you don't see that in any job anymore.
No, but it's kind of interesting that it's like some people are seeing it from a different angle. People that maybe never really thought about it now are going to start seeing that. So, you know, it's interesting, you know.
I'm interested to see who replaces him.
More football news. Coach Bill Belichick from New England Patriots, him and the owner parted ways this week. And he was still under contract. He didn't retire. He plans on going to coach somewhere else, you know, is ideally what the plan is. But when you're under contract in the NFL, teams can actually compensate the team to get the coach. We can give you draft picks or cash or something to get the coach. And they just parted ways. Like the owner and him came to a mutual agreement. It's like, hey, this thing has run its course. I'm not going to try to hold you hostage. I'm not going to try to get compensation for you. I appreciate everything you've done for my team. Go do you. So that was kind of cool too. Is like, I mean, it's a big thing because he was the same coach for many, many years, 20 something odd years. But in the business of it, they were just kind of like, hey, this is a breakup. And I want the best for you, and you want the best for me, and see you later. Which never happens. There have only been a few coaches that have been, quote-unquote, like, bought or traded for. There's only been two or three. But those were all very, like, we want draft picks, we need compensation, we need money, we're not giving you this guy. And this guy here who is, like, the most successful coach ever for championships. Here, go have fun. Go get another
job.
So
he's still going to go coach?
Yeah, he didn't retire.
Huh.
He wants to go coach. And that's another thing. Is they're saying, again, this is one of those guys that never leaves. This will be like Nick Saban saying, hey, I'm going to leave Alabama, but I still want to coach.
Oh.
And everybody's like clamoring for him. This is what's going on with Bill Belichick now. Is you've got all these teams who have really good teams, but they're like, are they good enough? Could we use a better coach? We thought we had the best coach, but now this guy's here. And we know he's better. Well, supposedly we know he's better because he's got the rings. You know, my Dallas Cowboys, they've done pretty good the last 3 or 4 years. They've had a pretty good coach. But I guarantee you, at the time of this recording, they haven't played their playoff game yet. But I guarantee you, if they get eliminated in the first round or if they get eliminated in the second round, that suddenly like, hey, all your success of the last 3 years, Mike McCarthy, sorry, we're glad you did it, but you couldn't ever get us there. We're going to go see if this guy will get us there. And we don't have to pay anything for him. We don't have to pay anything extra. We can just pay him money and say, here, come coach for us. We don't have to pay a team to get him.
Hmm.
It's going to make it enticing, I think. I'm excited to see what's going to happen.
I'm not going to lie. When you first told me about this news story for today's episode, I was like, Bill who? I had no idea who you were talking about.
Oh, my God. I see that now. I don't know.
I'm too much football news, in my opinion, but that's just me.
Too much news. Like, there's a lot of, like, really exciting news. Like, intriguing, like, make your mind turn news.
Like I won't get into it, but did you hear about the telescope that's out in space that saw city lights like 7 trillion miles away on another planet?
No.
No, this is a true story.
Oh my God.
True story. I'll give you the quick version, but apparently the James whatever telescope, James Webb telescope, I think if that's the correct name, is out there taking pictures of like deep space, and it caught a picture of lights 7 trillion miles away, and not like lights from other stars or something like that, like lights like from a city, like a city with buildings and electricity.
What?
Yes. Yeah, and it's so 7 trillion miles away. I know that sounds like a huge number.
It is a huge number.
But that's nothing compared to the vastness of space. I mean, I think our closest galaxy is more than 7 trillion miles away. So, like, where they saw it is basically what they consider, like, the backyard area to, like, where Earth is. That's considered our backyard in regards to all of space. So,
it's in our backyard.
Yeah.
There's another city in our backyard. Do you keep sending the satellite out? Like, hey, we're going to get closer.
I don't know where it goes, but like it's out there. Like I think it's getting pictures of things we've never seen before. So it's definitely out there, I think, as far as one has ever been. So it's just like the most, you know, it's the highest quality.
Is there like a space channel? Like, can I get on YouTube or on Hulu or something? There's just like a channel of like telescopes and what they see.
I don't know if there are for like those telescopes.
Wouldn't that be kind of cool?
But I think there are telescopes that do live feeds, like here on Earth, that point to like certain planets, and you can see them move at certain times, or if there's going to be like a comet or something, they zoom in on that. But yeah, no, you can check those out.
I think I want to watch the Space Channel. I want to watch just like, here it's 3 a.m just turn it on the Space Channel and see what he's looking at.
Mm-hmm. Anyway,
that's pretty cool, actually.
That's a lot of news.
That is a lot of news. But hey, it's been a little bit, you know, had to get some news. We had to update some people. We left some news on the table. It's okay. But I think that's going to wrap up news.
Yeah, until next time.
That's going to wrap up episode 105, Law and Disorderly News. Let's kick a shout out to Wavespace Audio for the awesome music. This is really cool for space. Put it on the Space Channel. And Young Ideas Dish for all of your Dish and Google needs.
Thanks, guys.
I wonder if Dish has like a space channel. I got to call Young Ideas and be like, hey, man, you got a space channel?
Because they're satellites.
Y'all got a space channel? Y'all got like a GoPro on the back of the satellite and I can see what's going on behind it?
Are we doing space puns now? Oh, gosh.
I think that's going to wrap it up now.
Yeah.
On behalf of myself and Miss Caitlin,
hey.
We are Law and Disorder, and we'll holler at you guys next time.
Bye.